Welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and our host is psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson.
And I'm Luann Crane, and last time we listened to a touching and very personal conversation that Dr. Dobson had with his very good friends, Robert and Bobby Wohlgemuth. This occurred when they were both visiting in Southern California together. Certainly, if you missed that program, we encourage you to go online to drjamesdobson.org and catch up on their journey throughout this past year.
Well, Robert and Bobby are back again to continue their discussion with my dad on their new book, Couples of the Bible. It's just been released today. That's right. So stay tuned as they talk about what we can learn from the many different couples throughout Scripture.
And we're actually going to jump right into their conversation. So here now is Dr. James Dobson with his special guests, Robert and Bobby Wohlgemuth.
Well, those who were tuned in to Family Talk yesterday heard a very moving discussion about Bobby Wohlgemuth, who's married to Robert Wohlgemuth, has been for 43 years, and they've been our friends, speaking of Shirley and me, and we love these folks, and you can tell that because of the number of times they've been on our programs talking about many, many topics. Robert has been in publishing for 35 years?
1976 was my first publishing assignment.
And had your own publishing company, and you were a vice president of Word Publishing back when I was working on the film series, the first film series called Focus on the Family, back in 1978. And you were the marketing director for
that's
that.
That's right. And that's when we first met.
Well, I should have. I won't say that. But it is a pleasure to have you back. And Bobby, you look great. You've been through some.
I'm so excited to be here.
Pretty difficult days. This has been a dark journey, and yet the Lord has been with you the whole way.
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Amen.
And you have had stage 4 ovarian cancer and have been through all of the chemotherapy and the other things that means. There are a lot of people listening to us who have walked that journey and would know what you have experienced. You have never, I said this yesterday, I'll say it again, you have never given vent to despair. Are you hiding it?
Oh, wow, no. I really feel like I've been carried, but I don't want to discourage someone that's out there that thinks that you have to rise above it at all times. There have been moments that I've said, Lord, I just need you to hold my hand right this second.
You would not
and
be
he has
human
been there.
If that
right.
were not the
right.
case.
So it has not been easy, but it has been doable because God's presence at every point where I felt like something was going to go wrong, I just said, okay, God is wise and he's good. And right now, I need you, Jesus.
In the beginning, the loss of your hair was
that
the
was a
big
pretty
thing.
Big deal, yeah. You know. We girls are all about our hair.
And guys might not understand that. I haven't got any hair much. And I don't cry about it. But
Well, you asked earlier about despair, and I think that's right. As her primary caregiver, I've never seen that. Now, I've seen wonderment. I've seen uncertainty. I've seen doubt.
But and fear. I think fear was my biggest enemy. And because my joy was on trial, I didn't want to lose my joy. But what we're going to talk about today was one of the reasons that I feel like I was able to have strength that was divine.
Well, and this runs right into the topic of your new book, which is released today, by the way.
That's right.
And the title of it is Couples of the Bible, a one-year devotional study of couples in Scripture. And before I plunge into this, Bobby, right before you had your surgery where the diagnosis became known, you had a hymn sing.
Yes.
With Johnny Erickson Tada.
Johnny Erickson Tada and I have been friends for a long time. We both love hymns. So to celebrate her recovery from breast cancer, we had planned a great hymn sing in celebration of her being clear from cancer.
And it's not coincidental that right before the most difficult moment of your life, Bobby, when you came out of the surgery and your first question is it cancer? And Robert, you told her the truth.
I did. I said, yes, it's cancer. And she said, how bad is it? And I said, it's stage 4. And Bobby paused a moment, and then she said, "How many stages are there?" And I said, "There are only four." So that began the journey. That was February 14th, 2012.
And 2 days before that, you were singing praises to the Lord.
That's right.
Yes.
Which became the backdrop for this entire experience.
Yes. We call that stocking the pond. You know, you're ready for it because the Lord gave us that experience to get ready for what He had for us the next year.
Okay, you all have written many books, Robert, and most of them were written by you, but you've begun working with Bobby, and I have a list of them here. They go on. They take the whole program to talk about them all, but one of them was on the great hymns of the church, of faith.
That's right. John MacArthur and Johnny and Bobby and I did four books called Great Hymns of the Faith, and then Bobby and Johnny did Hymns for a Kid's Heart, four more books that were aimed toward kids.
Well, every time you come, I cry, and I'm probably going to do it today. But the new book is Couples of the Bible. What a great concept. A one-year devotional study of couples in Scripture. How many couples are there in the Bible?
Oh, my. Well, we didn't do them all.
But no, but
that
there, 40,
there were 40 different couples. There were some double-ups. We have a few weeks on Adam and Eve. David, of course, was a pretty busy man, and so we had a bunch of weeks on him. We did a couple on Joseph and Mary. So in total, it's 52 weeks, but 40 couples spread out over a whole year.
There are 448 pages in this book. It could have been a whole series, and maybe it will be because there are many others. But again, what a great concept to focus on those couples and what the Lord was doing in their lives, what the cultural milieu was at that time, and how it influenced them, the parenting that they were involved in. So many, many things. The Bible is loaded with information about family life.
I think one of the things that was such an aha for us is that the Bible begins and ends with marriage. And all the way through, you see how God character, how God worked through couples. So it was really a chronological overview.
And Revelation.
Revelation is Christ
and the church.
Yeah. So last week it's Christ and his
and
bride.
His bride, the church.
And the last words of the Old Testament in Malachi is that he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children
to their
fathers.
That's right. So really the book, you said it's a lot of pages, but it's an overview of the Scripture. A lot of our listeners are familiar with the Scripture, but they've never gone through the whole thing from Genesis to the Revelation from the perspective of the couples who lived then. And so what Bobby and I have said to each other as we've been writing this book is this book really is more about God's interaction with his people and with couples and his character revealed in those stories than anything else.
We're going to talk about some of those couples with our program today, with what's left of it. But let me just read some of the couples. I have a list of them here. It's Abraham and Sarah, Abram and Hagar, Abram and Sarai, Adam and Eve, and all the way to going in alphabetical order, Zechariah and Elizabeth. And now, in the interest of time, let's go back to Adam and Eve. Let's start at the beginning. What can we learn about couples from the way Adam and Eve related to each other?
Well, the Scripture gives us a snapshot of the perfect couple. Do you remember? They're naked and not ashamed.
Yes.
The perfect couple in perfect union. And so what we have is we have a picture of exactly what marriage is supposed to look like. Now, as you said, it ends with Christ in the church, another perfect marriage. But in order to understand for Bobby and me what marriage is supposed to look like, we need to see a picture of that. So what the first week does, the first chapter does, is gives us a picture of God's perfect idea of marriage in Adam and Eve.
You know, when I think of Adam and Eve in that perfect environment, there was no sin at that stage.
Right.
And there was this perfect garden that the Lord had prepared for them. And they were given the freedom to choose evil, and they did. I like to use that with the parents whose kids have gone wrong. They did everything they knew to do. They weren't perfect because parents aren't perfect, and we're not perfect. Sometimes their children do what Adam and Eve did. Here's, you have God, the perfect father, and in a sense, he lost his first created beings. And that ought to be encouraging to parents who have this load of guilt saying, you know, it's all my fault. It probably isn't.
Right. Well, the introduction of sin in the third chapter of Genesis does change the picture completely. But it is amazing that you said the perfect father establishing the perfect marriage in Adam and Eve. But it's interesting, too, because he puts right in the middle of this perfect marriage a no. I mean, before sin, he says you can't eat of that tree. And so there's a discipline that God sends to us that helps us to understand that there is right and there is wrong. And of course, they made the wrong decision.
Let's talk about Boaz and Ruth. You know, I can throw a dart and hit one here.
I always wondered why more mothers don't name their sons Boaz, because he was so incredible. But I think the part that I love is that the Bible says it so happened that Ruth came into the field of Boaz. There is a situation where God orchestrated the entire future by having her land in a place to work, and it happened to be Boaz's field. Now, he was generous, he was kind, he's really a fabulous picture of the attributes of Christ. And so, again, these couples, when you see that no circumstance that happened in your life or in our lives is by coincidence. In fact, in Hebrew, there is no word for coincidence, because there is nothing that's a real coincidence. God is always orchestrating. He's always moving in our lives.
Pastor Earl Lee, my pastor, preached a sermon one time called, "What Are These Women Doing Here?" It was a great idea. And of course, you have Rahab and and others. What are they doing?
Well, it's so interesting, the whole redemption, making situations that feel impossible, people that have not done it well. God is always coming to us and saying, "I am going to redeem this situation if you trust me." And that was an encouragement. No matter who the scallywag was, God has a plan. We are warned in Scripture by what not to do. Many times we're given examples of what to do by couples.
Speaking of scallywags, Nabal and Abigail, they really had a weird marriage.
But you know what? There's never a place that's recorded where Abigail badmouths her husband. No place where she says, "This guy is a scallywag.
He was a lousy guy."
No, he was terrible. No question. Yeah. But when she came to David and she cooked all this food for David and his soldiers, she did not say, "Just by the way, so you know, I have a terrible husband and he's very unkind to me." No, the Lord took care of Nabal, and you can read about that in that chapter.
Well, we see several strong women in the Bible that were a resource for their husbands. And there are so many cases like Deborah and Lapidoth. Deborah was given unusual wisdom. So many times, Pilate and Claudia had a dream and came to Pilate and said, "Do not mess with Jesus. He is innocent." And so often we talk about how we are a resource for each other. If I don't often have dreams, but I might have a nudging. I might be in the laundry room folding clothes and I hear something or I think something and it might help Robert at work. That is being each other's resource. We see that over and over again with couples of the Bible.
Well, I've heard it from many, many men, and I have experienced it. A man is a fool who will not listen to his wife because she sees the world through a whole different set of eyes.
That's right.
And she picks up things he's not getting, and vice versa. It's a wonderful arrangement where we support one another.
That's God's design, and it was from the beginning. And like with Adam and Eve, his perfect design for marriage was him being in fellowship with them. So Jesus and the couple having perfect fellowship is God's design.
Bobby, you told us that what you wanted to get across with this book is the number of places and ways that God deals with the issues being experienced right now in our culture and in our time.
Yes, God's character is so clearly seen through the way he dealt with couples. For instance, one of my heroes is Jochebed, Moses' mother, and her husband Amram. So here they are in a culture that is so unsettling. She hears that Mrs. Smith down the street, their baby was just killed last night, and she's scared because all these other babies are being killed, and they have this beautiful new baby boy. Just to put ourselves in this couple's place, they're talking at night saying, how can we keep our baby from making too much noise so somebody doesn't come and get him? And then God gives her an idea that her child could be saved. And this is what God does to us as a couple. He comes to us in the middle of devastating crisis, and he says, I have made a provision for you in your marriage to find out what my will is. And in this case, she made this little basket and put Moses in it, and he became the deliverer of the people. When God wants to get something done through us as a couple, he tells one of us, he comes to us. Usually it's confirmed with the other couple. We did just sort of go through all these couples and say, look how God came to different couples. I feel like the encouragement is, if you and your spouse seek God, he is going to give you instructions in incredible wisdom. And usually he does it to us as a couple.
And sometimes God speaks to the man, and sometimes he speaks to the woman. And so what this requires is that you spend time as a couple talking about what you thought God said to you. And sometimes it's through scripture, sometimes through something that he says to you while you're at work, sometimes in the middle of the night. Many times over the years, Bobby and I have talked in the morning. Morning is very precious to us, about what God revealed to us last night, what he may have nudged us with, or what we've learned in our Bible study in the morning together. So the whole idea of Couples of the Bible is it gives a platform for couples to interact with each other and to see what God has already done through history with the people that followed him.
And your intent is to take each of these couples and devote 1 week to studying what the Lord was saying to
them. Yes, very quickly. Monday is their story, and Tuesday is their life and times, giving a context for the culture that they were in. Wednesday is called Can You Imagine? In other words, draw yourself into this setting, and what would it have been like to be Noah and his wife, or to be Zechariah and Elizabeth? Thursday, we call it their legacy in scripture. So it's a Bible study on that subject using other scripture found in the rest of the Bible. And then we have questions that you can ask each other or study with your small group on Thursday. And then Friday is called their legacy of prayer. And the idea there is couples need to pray together. They need to hear God's voice. And if they don't know exactly what to say, we give them a guideline.
Bobby, you said a minute ago there are no coincidences, and as you all were writing this book, you came down with ovarian cancer, stage 4, and you told us before we went on the air that that wasn't a coincidence either, and that the Lord was speaking to you about what you were about to go through from the pages of the scripture.
Absolutely. I feel like spending 2.5 years researching and studying God's word to put together the material for this book was such an incredible preparation. Always God's word is preparing us for something. The same way every morning when we get up and we read, God is trying to tell us something that we might need for that day, or that our child might need, or that our husband or our spouse might need. I feel like spending all that time in God's word, working on Couples of the Bible, was such an unbelievable underpinning for me, because it was like, God has been faithful in the past. Look what he did. Look how he carried couples when they didn't know how it was going to turn out. Mary and Joseph didn't know what was going to happen. All these couples, they didn't have the book yet. And we don't have the book yet on what's happening with us. But God is unchangeable, and I believe his character and what we learned about God in studying this was absolutely an invaluable stability for me.
You know, given the many times that we have read the Bible and have enjoyed those scriptures, they still are new and fresh. When we read together, our eyes are open to a new thought or a new need because our lives are constantly changing. And this book applies to all of them. Why would anyone not read the owner's manual?
And the marriage manual. That's perfect.
And parenting manual.
That's right. And Bobby and I have spent a lot of years in the Bible. I can't tell you how many times we were surprised by what we discovered. And I think that will be a really fun thing for a lot of folks out there who know God's Word and have studied God's Word. Snapping this lens on will reveal brand new things to them.
Bobby, I said that this book is incredibly creative. I really don't know how this came about, and yet I think your Bible study played a role in it.
Yes, it did. The precious young moms in my Bible study, I could see their faces. I could hear their questions as we wrote. Everything from, should I Facebook an old boyfriend, to my husband just lost his job, or we're trying to get pregnant, we're thinking about adoption. All these things these girls over the years have shared and have prayed with each other. I could see their faces, and I wanted this book to be an answer for them.
And that concept led to Couples of the Bible.
Yes, it did.
Bobby, you tweaked my interest there with what you just said. Tell us about Facebooking an old boyfriend.
Well, one of the temptations of all this internet is that connections can happen. And so really the girls have to have boundaries around their marriage. And so we talked about what is acceptable and what isn't. Facebooking an old boyfriend isn't acceptable. It's not acceptable to Facebook. We even talked about, okay, if you ever kissed a guy, don't Facebook him. And then we went further and said, if you even wanted to kiss a guy, don't Facebook him. Because really what it is putting a protective hedge around the precious gift God has given you. The design he gave in marriage is for us to protect that beauty and that purity that he gave us. Mm. And I've learned from the girls. They have helped me as an older woman teaching the younger women to love their husbands, love their children, and be keepers at home. They have taught me what they are facing, and God's word is applicable today.
The title of the book is Couples of the Bible, a one-year devotional study of couples in Scripture. You have questions to be answered at the end of each chapter.
That's right. On the Thursday of each week is where we have questions, yes.
We've been talking to Robert and Bobby Wohlgemuth. It's great to have you all here again. I strongly recommend this book. It is just out today. Blessings to you both. And Bobby, our prayers will continue to be with you.
Thank you.
Our listeners to be in prayer for you. Regardless of the outcome, you know who holds your hand, don't
you? Yes, I do. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
Always.
Always.
Oh, my. We hope that you have enjoyed this very special program as much as we have. Mm-hmm. Ryan, and I got to admit, I'm kind of intrigued by this whole topic of how we can relate to and learn from different couples in Scripture. That's a rather new concept.
It is. I got a pre-release copy of the book, and I got to do an endorsement for it, and I was fascinated by it. Mm-hmm. It's a great devotional to do with your spouse. Laura and I are starting it now, as, again, it's just been released today.
That's exciting.
And you can find out how to get a copy of this amazing book at drjamesdobson.org.
I mean, this just fits in perfectly with our passion here at Family Talk to encourage and strengthen marriages. Mm-hmm. I would encourage you to go online to drjamesdobson.org, where we have a lot more information and resources specifically on how you can strengthen your own marriage.
That's right.
Again, drjamesdobson.org, or give us a call, 877-732-7255. 6825.
And as we end our time together, I want to remind you that we are a listener-supported broadcast. That means our ability to minister to hurting families is completely dependent upon the financial support of our listeners. Mm-hmm. And if you can help us out, we would greatly appreciate it.
And April is a perfect time to do so, mm-hmm. because this month I'm pleased to announce we have a matching program.
That's right.
Meaning that every dollar you give to Family Talk will be matched, doubled dollar for dollar. So mm-hmm. this is a great time to partner with us. Again, the way to do so is by calling 877-732-6825.
Or online at drjamesdobson.org, our Facebook page, our smartphone app. There's lots of ways.
We make it happen.
And thank you in advance for helping us in our ministry work.
And thank you also for joining us today for this special two-day conversation with the Waldgemuths. And we invite you back next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.
Time and time again, America has called out to God, and God has answered. But in our time, America is turning away, and God is watching. We now face a crisis larger than an economic meltdown, more catastrophic than war. It's the question that threatens our very foundation. Will America turn its back on God? The answer is up to us. God is calling on us to pray. Log on to nationaldayofprayer.org.